Ukraine-Russia war has just passed its 924th day. The worldwide support of Ukraine has been slowly ebbing away. Last month, Ukraine began an offensive into Russia, breaking through into the Kursk region. The Western media hype around the incursion painted Russia as collapsing under the Ukrainian offensive. France 24 reported the Ukrainian army remains in control of more than 1,000 square kilometers of land in Russia's Kursk region, almost a month into a brazen cross-border incursion that offered Kiev's forces a much-needed morale boost and dealt Russian President Vladimir Putin a humiliating blow, end quote. Well, the Western media constantly puts up a narrative they wish to become reality. This is a strategic tactic that is frequently used over the past few years. This might work when attempting to control weak-minded Western masses whose opinions are formed by pop culture and social media, but it doesn't work against bullets and steel, nor against angelic powers that are at play. The Bible is clear that Russia will ultimately be in control of Europe, especially the era of Ukraine, not the reverse. The leader of the Northern Confederacy is described in Ezekiel 38 when the prophet states, "Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tuval, and prophesy against him and say, Thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tuval." Verses 2 and 3. Well, Josephus equates Magog with the Scythians, writing in his Antiquities Book 1, "Magog founded those that from him were called the Magogites, but are by the Greeks called Scythians." Well, the Greek historian Herodotus, writing in 440 BC, stated that Scythia was situated between the river Don and the river Danube. This is the area of Eastern Europe, which includes Ukraine, Poland, Belarus, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Romania, Hungary, the Czech Republic, and even Germany. This area is under the control of Gog when the invasion of the Middle East takes place. So the prophets are clear about who eventually will come out on top. A month into the incursion, the failure of this adventure is so evident that France 24, a French media outlet, published an article with the headline, "Failed Gamble, Why Ukraine's Kursk Offensive Has Failed to Distract Russia from the Donbass Push." While many news commentators have begun to question the goal of Ukraine's offensive, was the idea merely to embarrass Putin? Others believe it was a desperate strategy to disrupt the status quo, which has been bleeding Ukraine dry of manpower. It certainly was a bold and rapid maneuver. Two previous counteroffensives had also failed, the overhyped 2023 counteroffensive and the one in the spring of 2024. It is believed the goal of this campaign was to draw away Russian troops in the area of the Donbass, or the Don Basin, one of the boundaries of the land of Magog, and focus them elsewhere. Some of Ukraine's most elite troops, along with precious weaponry garnered through massive campaigns by Ukraine to squeeze aid from the Western countries, have been committed to this offensive. They have been pulled from other areas and committed to the campaign. The European Security and Defense magazine reported, "By creating a salient with Russia, Ukraine has extended the length of the front line to be defended, and having done so in an area where it is relatively risky to bring up air defense systems. Secondly, the AFU have taken fairly serious losses of capable personnel and high-value equipment, both of which are difficult to replace. Lastly, the offensive has taken up the lot of Ukraine's offensive potential, and the longer the operation lasts, the more Ukraine's defenders on the main front will feel the absence of personnel, vehicles, and ammunition being used in Kursk. The offensive will require ongoing sustainment if the AFUs choose to remain in the area. Due to shortages, the sustainment will necessarily have to come at the expense of other units on the main front line. Indeed, some reports from AFU sources on the main front line have already stated experience greater shortages of supplies such as ammunition. In strategic terms, the nagging feeling is that the AFU now find themselves holding a poison chalice. Ahead of them lies the choice of either retreat or commitment. The former would preserve lives and equipment, but would call the entire purpose of this operation into question, making it look like a blunder. The commitment would require to exacerbate shortages on the main front line in exchange for holding on to questionably useful gains. Neither seems particularly good." End quote. While Ukraine's offensive was initially successful, largely due to the area being patrolled by conscripts and border guards with no reserves behind them, it was able to quickly push into the lightly defended area. But Ukraine has forgotten how Russia fights. Russia is a vast territory. When attacked, it has often resulted in a strategy of retreat and entrap. It did so when King Charles of Sweden, who presided over the Swedish Empire that covered Scandinavia and reached into Europe, invaded Russia during the time of Peter the Great over 300 years ago. It employed similar measures when the French invaded under Napoleon, and it used the same tactic when Germany invaded under Hitler. And it has just done it again. It pulled back, forcing Ukraine to stretch out its precious forces into a long line, logistics again becoming the deciding factor. As former president and American General Dwight D. Eisenhower once said, "You will not find it difficult to prove that battles, even campaigns, and even wars have been won or lost primarily because of logistics." General George Patton stated, "Wars are not won by fighting battles. Wars are won by choosing battles." And it appears Ukraine has made a mistake in choosing this offensive. Even the German World War II General Rommel stated, "Don't fight a battle if you can't gain anything by winning." The Ukraine war will not be won by opinion polls, but by the overwhelming superiority of forces. An unexpected outcome of the incursion into Russia was the activation of Russian units that, under law, were not allowed to be deployed as the Ukrainian special offensive was outside Russian territory. Now that the Ukrainian army has crossed into Russian territory, units previously on ice have been activated. Rather than drawing off troops, it has allowed Russia to increase its active armed forces. Russia has remained unmoved from its objective, as France 24 reported. "Russian goals have not changed," Zelensky told reporters, noting that the assault on Pokrovsk began long before Ukraine's Kursk offensive. In the immediate aftermath of Ukraine's brazen cross-border offensive, military expert quizzed by France 24 agreed that the operation's primary aim appears to be the redeployment of Russian troops engaged in the Donbass. "In that respect, Ukraine's provocation has failed," Putin told Russian media on Monday, boasting that Moscow's forces were advancing in the Donbass at the fastest pace in a long time. A transport hub with a pre-war population of 50,000, many of whom have now fled, Pokrovsk is an important supply hub with several roads and rail lines converging there. An international security expert at the University of Portsmouth said, who was closely monitoring the war in Ukraine, end quote. Speaking at the Eastern Economic Forum in Vladivostok, Putin stated on Thursday, "The enemy aimed to cause concern and halt our offensive in key areas, particularly in Donbass, which is our main goal," Putin said. "Did it succeed? No. We have to think about the people who are obviously going through serious trials and suffering from these terrorist attacks, and it is the sacred duty of the armed forces to do everything possible to remove the enemy from these territories and to protect our citizens safely. And the whole country, of course, must do everything to support the people. As for the military side of things, I have already mentioned this. The enemy's goal was to make us nervous, frantic, and move our troops away from one area to another and stop the offensive in key areas, first of all in Donbass, where liberation is our primary goal. What did or did not work out for the enemy? Nothing has worked out," end quote. Well, the Bible maps out the destiny of nations, and as Daniel points out, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will, and sets up over it the basest of men, in Daniel 4, verse 17. No amount of media bias can change the course that God has set for nations. We watch and observe how these things play out, but the end result is secure. Meanwhile, this week, two ballistic missiles blasted a military academy in a nearby hospital, killing more than 50 and wounding 200 others. Most of the articles reporting the blast did not mention the significance of Poltava. It is the city where Peter the Great won his decisive victory against Charles of Sweden, effectively ending the Swedish Empire and resulting in the Swedish king fleeing to the Ottoman Turks for protection. Peter the Great is Putin's hero. Back in 2022, during the 350th anniversary of Peter the Great's birth, Putin compared himself to Peter the Great with Peter's ambitions. Peter the Great, he said, waged the Great Northern War for 21 years. It would seem that he was at war with Sweden. He took something from them. He did not take anything from them. He returned what was Russia's. Apparently, it is also our lot to return what is Russia's and strengthen the country. And if we proceed from the fact that these basic values form the basis of our existence, we will certainly succeed in solving the tasks that we face, end quote. Well, as we watch this war grind on, we are reminded that ultimately the angels are in charge of preparing the nations for that great day of God Almighty. Man's ambitions and pride will lead to his fall. Russia's ambitions will be crushed on the mountains of Israel after a successful build-up of its image empire. Daniel 11:45 tells us, "He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." The world remains blind and deaf to the prophetic word, but God has a plan which he will bring about. As we read in Isaiah 55 verses 10 to 11, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." For the Bible in the News, this has been Jonathan Bowen joining you.